All right, good morning again, everybody. And I want to say as well hello to everybody in all our other venues this morning. We trust that this will be a day when we will truly sense the Lord and draw near to Him. Scripture says that when we draw near to Him, that He draws near to us, and we desperately need that. If you have your Bible, you can turn with me a while to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, we'll be thinking about that as we introduce this idea today of how important it is for us as a church to get as much as we can, or to get everything we can out of our 40 days of prayer, which actually begins next Sunday morning on Sunday, September the 23rd. Let's bow together this morning in prayer, shall we? Father, thank you for these moments, for this time, Lord, for us to be in your word. I pray that you will speak to us today through your word and through your truth. May what we say and what we do be to the glory and the praise of your name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, you've heard me say many times that one of the joys of our lives is our grandkids. That's a shot we took this summer when we were on vacation. It took about 30 minutes to shape 5 seconds of that shot, you know, where it finally got there. But, you know, we marvel at, I'm sure those of you who are parents and grandparents as well, we marvel right at, you know, how fast they grow up. We rejoice at every twist and turn in their growth. We certainly celebrate all the new things that they do every week and every month. But, you know, if a child doesn't grow up, that's not cute. It's actually tragic, right? We know that when that happens, we throw all kinds of resources at that situation. We take them to doctors and places and try to find out what's wrong, because when a child doesn't grow up, it's really a tragic situation indeed. But what is true physically, church, is also true spiritually. You ought to get this down this morning. It's actually possible to grow old but never grow up. How many of you know people like that? They've grown old, but mentally and emotionally and even spiritually, they haven't really grown up all that much. And yet, one of the things we're going to see today, and also for these next 40 or 50 days or so, is that the God who changed you has a different plan for your life. The God who changed me has a different plan for my life. He wants you and me to grow up into the men and the women that He has called, and young people that He has called us to be. In the book of Ephesians, I had you turn there this morning to the fourth chapter. Paul, I think, has a good word to us about that, beginning at the 14th verse, as he is trying to help us understand why it is that God has given us the church and the various people that we have a chance of meeting and hearing from and learning from in the church. Here's why. Here's what Paul says, quote, that we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. And he goes on to say in the 16th verse, from Christ the whole body grows. And so, folks, we're not meant to remain as spiritual infants at the mercy of every weird teaching that comes down the pike. We're meant to grow. In fact, I think a lot of us have problems in our lives because we're not growing. We are spiritually immature, and we make decisions based upon our feelings. We make decisions based upon, you know, our moods or our wants, and we don't really consult God. And the sad thing is that our marriages and our kids and our grandkids and our families and everybody else in our lives are affected because we are not growing spiritually, and we get ourselves in some really deep weeds. And so this morning, as we kind of introduce this idea of 40 days of prayer, I want to remind us that this is a time for all of us to grow. This is not a time for you and me to just kind of sit back and let somebody else get something out of this. This is a time for you and me to bring all of our lives before God. And I want to ask you, where do you need to grow? Where do you need to grow? Where do you need to develop? Maybe in your personal holiness. Maybe in your knowledge of God's truth. Maybe you're not somebody who prays all that much. And one of the things you need to do is really take this time and learn for the first time in your life how to pray. So we're going to talk about this. How is it that we grow? How is it that we can get as much as possible out of these next 40 days of prayer? That's what I want to talk about today. And so go first with me, if you would, to the book of Matthew chapter 4. Because we want to learn, first of all, that we grow by feeding on the Word of God. We grow by feeding on the Word of God. Can I get a witness of that one, church? I mean, we are a Word-oriented church as a flock. And Jesus said these fascinating words here in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. Here's what Jesus said. People need more than bread for their life. Or your Bible might say, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word. Jesus said we must feed on the Word of God. Now, Matthew chapter 4 is actually a fascinating passage of Scripture. It's the description of when Jesus went up against Satan with those 40 days of temptation. And you see very quickly in this passage how important God's Word was to Christ himself, because in verse 4 and in verse 7 and also in verse 10, as Jesus answered the onslaughts of Satan, he used a phrase three different times. You see what it is, church? Jesus said, what did he say? It is written. It is written. It is written. And he was actually quoting the Old Testament and the Word of God as he went against Satan. And so Jesus is telling us, and he's showing us, I think, that the Word of God was at the center of his strategy. And yet, I think what he said there in that fourth verse to me is so compelling. People need more than bread for their life. People must feed on every word of God. Now, certainly, Jesus is not against Five Guys burgers and fries, right? But let me ask you this today. What would your health be like if every Sunday you gorged yourself at the Five Guys buffet and the rest of the week you ate nothing at all? I mean, your Sundays would be amazing, right? But after that, I don't know. And yet, at the same way, church, it harms our spiritual health if all we get of spiritual truth is what we get here on a Sunday morning. You know, some of us think to ourselves, well, I can come to church on a Sunday and I'm good for the rest of the week. No, you're not. We need to feed our souls. We need to nourish our souls. And we need to nourish ourselves on the Word of God, because otherwise, church, we are not going to have the spiritual strength to get through what it is that God is asking us to do. The Apostle Paul said this in the book of Acts, chapter 20 and verse 32, an amazing passage of Scripture. As he's leaving the Ephesian elders, he doesn't know if he's going to see them again. He says these words. I love these words. He says, I commit to you God and the, what church? And the word of his grace, which is able to build you up, Paul said, and give you all the blessings that God has for his people. And so there are some gifts, of course, that you're not going to give a baby, right? You're not going to give a baby Five Guys burgers and fries. It's going to destroy them, right? There are some gifts you're not going to, well, maybe not. I don't know. We could kind of grind it up a little bit and get it in there. But, you know, there are some gifts you're not going to give a young person, right? You're not going to give a 10-year-old child a cell phone and give them unfettered access to anything they want on the internet. You're not going to do that. It'll destroy them. And in the same way, church, there are some blessings, Paul is saying there. There are some blessings that God has for you and me. But you know what? He's waiting for us to grow up. Amen. He's waiting for us to get into the Word of God. and to grow. It's the Word of God that builds us up. Church, this morning, get in the Word of God. Get in the Word of God. And look what Paul says here. He says, when you do that, you receive the blessings that God has for His people. And so number one today, church, if we're going to get everything that God has for us during these 40 days of prayer, we're going to have to make sure that during this time that we feed on the Word of God, that the Word of God is what washes over our souls. The second thing I want you to think about. We also grow by developing spiritual habits in our lives. We grow by developing spiritual habits in our lives. Here's what Jesus said in the Gospel of John, chapter 13 and verse 17. Listen to this. Jesus said, "Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you," what, church? "Do them." You do them. Number two, we grow when we develop spiritual disciplines or habits. On my wife's dresser is this saying there that I've read hundreds of times as I walk by her dresser there, and it says this: discipline is the bridge between goals and accomplishments. Discipline is that bridge. And I think Jesus is talking about that here in John 13, verse 17. Actually, as you look through that entire passage, John 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17, that is the time that Jesus gathered together with his disciples before he went to the cross. One of the things he was doing that night, I think, is just reminding them of some basic spiritual disciplines. And it's interesting, as you look through John 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17, you find disciplines like servanthood, and prayer, and the Word of God, and obedience. John 15, of course, that famous passage there of the importance of remaining in Him. And one of the things I think Jesus is saying here in the 13th chapter in verse 17 there is that you don't just get a blessing for knowing the right thing to do. Isn't that huge? I mean, most of us here today know the right thing to do. I deal with people all the time. They know the right thing. They're not doing it. And Christ is saying that we actually grow. There's a blessing in our lives when we not just know the right thing to do, but we actually do it. We practice it. We make it a habit of our lives. Now, you want to write down Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14 this morning. Hebrews 5 and verse 14, because I think Paul was on to the same thing here when he said this. He said, "Solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil." I want you to think about that. In fact, if you have your Bible there, you ought to underline that phrase there, constant use, and the idea of training themselves. And so Paul is actually saying, you know, that until we actually put some strong spiritual disciplines into play in our lives, we're only going so far in the Christian life. There's a discipline aspect of it. In fact, I think probably one of the reasons why some of us here today are not growing, some of the reasons why we're making bad decisions and we lack direction and our marriages are falling apart, one of the reasons why is because we are not consistently walking with God. Show me someone consistently walking with God. I'm not going to say they're not going to have problems, but I am going to say they'll be able to grow through those tough times. We need to make sure that we develop spiritual habits. Well, right now, Tom Brady is one of the oldest. Well, actually, he's the oldest quarterback in the NFL. He's one of the oldest players in the NFL. He's one of the oldest to keep playing football. I realize that I'm in Ravens and Eagles country, and every time I even put that on the screen, I take my life in my hands. I get it. But you got to hand it to this guy. We may not agree, and I don't even agree with everything about his life, but he is the best because he's willing to pay the price. And he's developed some very strict habits of eating and drinking and exercise and training that keeps him in peak mental and physical condition. And Paul is talking about that, I think, in these verses. In fact, he says this in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Listen to what he says there. Excuse me for putting Tom Brady and Scripture on the same thing there for you. Some of you are really offended with that now. But just hang in there for a minute, all right? Listen to what it says here in 1 Corinthians 9. Paul says, run in such a way that you get the prize. Everyone, and he's talking about the Olympic Games there, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. And so in that day and age, it was that crown, right, of garland and stuff that they'd put on somebody's head when they were the champion. He says, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Wow. So a lot of us here today are spending a whole lot of time pursuing things that aren't going to last. And we're doing it to the exclusion of things that will last. And so I understand we need to have some things in our lives that won't last, but to exclude the things that will last is a huge mistake. And so we should run in such a way that we get that crown that lasts forever. And so here's a couple habits here that we want to develop here during these next 40 days. I think I have it in your notes this morning. Number one of the things we're going to do is we're going to have a weekly large group worship, which is Sunday morning, obviously. And during that time, we're going to talk about prayer, the various aspects of prayer. We're going to learn some theology and some truth about prayer that I trust will help us in our life. There's a second thing, a second component about this. We want to make sure that we have a small group connection during this time. There are things that you can do in a small group you can't do in a large group. And so you can talk about what we're learning here. Number three, we also want to talk about and emphasize a daily habit of reading the Bible. We have scriptures, and of course we've given out, we're not given out, but you've been able to purchase those journals which take you through these 40 times, these 40 days, and take you through a number of great passages of scripture that'll just feed and encourage your soul. And then there's a fourth thing we want to make sure that you're meditating on God's Word. That we're not just kind of learning things and hearing things and keeping it in a box, but we're actually taking it with us. And when we're in a car, when we're, you know, going for a walk, we're thinking and meditating and pondering what it is that God is doing in our lives. And so how are we going to get as much as we can? We're going to have to feed on God's Word. Number two, we're going to have to develop spiritual habits. Thirdly today, we also grow when we engage all the various ways that we grow. What do I mean by that? Well, in Luke chapter 3, you can turn there with me, there's a kind of a curious thing that I'd never quite seen before. And it's talking there about John the Baptist and the way that John the Baptist taught and exhorted people. Those of you who are teachers, you're going to resonate with this because I think he's talking here about learning styles and the various ways that all of us learn. Here's what it says there. It says, and with many other words. Actually, it could even be translated in many other ways. I think it actually says that, I think, in the NLT. John exhorted the people and proclaimed the good news to them. Now, I think it's saying to us here that John was very effective in what we did. And one of the reasons why is because he used many ways, many words to teach truth to people. And if you're there in Luke chapter 3, you can just kind of read it later on if you want on your own. You can kind of see there, even in that chapter alone, John used word pictures. John used analogies. Of course, he used the picture of baptism. What was baptism? It was a matter of obedience, but it was a picture of dying and rising again in Jesus Christ. John preached and used examples from life. He's talking about soldiers and farmers and stuff in this passage. And then, of course, he was huge in the area of practical application. I mean, when you were in a sermon preached by John the Baptist, you knew exactly what God was saying to you. Why did John do this? Because I think he knew that God made us all unique, and we learn in various ways, different words, different ways. Some of us learn by listening. We're auditory learners. Some of us learn by seeing. We're more visual. It's one of the reasons why we have PowerPoint here on a Sunday. Others of us actually learn by action. It's why you have a notes in front of you, so you can write something down and reflect upon what you're hearing. Some of us learn by talking, right? In fact, all of us know people whose minds don't really engage until their mouth starts talking, right? Others of us learn, we don't like to read. Some of us don't like to read. We don't like to listen. We don't even like to talk. Those are called men, right? But most of us learn by doing. It's one of the reasons why Jesus said what he said in John chapter 13. Right? Nobody learns to play golf by reading about it in a golf manual. You don't learn how to play basketball by studying somebody doing it. You actually learn by going out there. Let's go hit some balls. Let's go shoot some hoops. That's how we do these things. And I think the text is just reminding us of that there with John. And so over the next 40 days here, we want to teach and challenge you through your ears. We want to teach and challenge you through your eyes. We want you to feel some things in your heart. We want you to read some things with your eyes and your mind. We want to discuss some things with our mouths. We want to get our hands dirty serving God. Why? Because this is kind of how we put these things into practice. We just don't grow and learn by sitting and listening to somebody preach or teach. We need more than that. We need to engage the entirety of who we are in that learning process. And so we must feed on the Word of God. We've got to be disciplined in our lives. We've got to understand that we learn in various ways. And there's a fourth thing I want you to think about with me. I want you to be reminded that we actually grow when we help each other grow. You can't grow to spiritual maturity by yourself. Are you with me, church? No way, Jose. No way. It's not going to happen. You and I need each other in that process. I love what Paul said there in Romans chapter 1 as he's pondering coming to Rome. And here, one of the reasons why he wanted to make it to Rome, listen to this, church. He said, I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. And so I want to give you some things that I know you need. But then he goes on to say, that is, that you and I might be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. And so Paul is saying, you know what, I can't wait to get there. I got some things I want to share with you, but I know that you've got some things that are good for me. And I want to learn them. And so, church, let me just remind you today, you need me, and I need you. Are you with me, church? You need me, and I need you. And I'm not just talking about men here, right? You know, I've learned so much from women. I've learned so much from the women in my life, from the women in my staff. In fact, I find that I make so much better decisions in my life when I have women as well speaking into me. And so men and women alike, we need each other. God has wired us in such a way that we are truly better together. Truly we are. We grow when we help each other grow. It's huge. Paul was on to this, I think, in 1 Corinthians 12. Love these verses. Paul says, the eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, Paul said, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he has wanted them to be. And so you have people in your life They're there because God has put them there. You have a pastor, you have other pastors, you have elders and leaders, Sunday school teachers, a husband or a wife, Christian friends, people in your small group. You've got these people in your life, church. And look what it says there. God has placed them there. And one of the reasons why God has placed them there is because He wants you and me to learn all that we can through each other. That's how it works. That's how it works. That's one of the things we want to see happen in these 40 days. You might be thinking to yourself, why are we doing this, Pastor Bob? I mean, why can't you just preach through the book of a book of a Bible here? Well, I'm going to be doing that soon, by the way. When we're done with 40 days, we're going to talk about Daniel. It's been a long time since I preached through Daniel, so I'm really looking forward to preaching through Daniel. We're going to jump in that in October, a little commercial there this morning. But we got 40 days to go through first. So what do we want to do? What do we want to see happen in our lives as a result of 40 days of prayer? 40 days of prayer. I don't have it in your notes this morning, so I'm going to give this to you. This is no extra charge this morning, right? This is why we're doing this. In fact, if I've said anything today that you ought to write down, you ought to write this down. All right? Number one, we want to learn truth that deepens our prayer lives. Does anybody here this morning need to have your prayer life deepened? Anybody? Get your hand up. I got mine up too. All right. And so, you know, we want to learn truth. What does God have to say about prayer? What does God have to say about you in prayer? What did Jesus, one of the things we're going to emphasize in week 2 and 3 is the Lord's Prayer. What an amazing example and pattern for how to pray. It's not just something we're supposed to say remotely. This was Jesus giving us a pattern for how to communicate with God. Number two, we want to draw near to God during this time. Right? This is 40 days of what, church? Prayer, right? Some of us are here today, including this pastor. And we need to see breakthroughs in our lives. We need to see breakthroughs in our homes, our marriages. Some of us here today need to see breakthroughs in our relationships. We need to see breakthroughs in the life of our church. And so, secondly, we want to use this time to seek together, to draw near to God, and to see God do things in our lives that otherwise He might not do. Number three, we want to get clarity and unity for our next steps as a church. We still haven't figured out what God wants to do yet with our this idea of multi-siting and next spot. Where is that supposed to? And so my prayer is that as we seek the face of God, that God will give us clarity and unity. And then number four today, we want to also lift up the ministries and the outreach partners, our missionaries and those who serve cross-culture. We're going to use this time to lift up our ministries, our partners in a special way. We're going to do this in a lot of ways. We're going to be encouraging you to pray day by day. We're going to encourage our small groups to pray. We're going to have some special times of prayer during our morning services here where we gather together and bring our hearts and our lives before the Lord. And so those are the things we want to do. We want to learn truth. We want to see God break through some things. We want clarity. And we want to lift up each other in our ministries and prayers. I want to leave you with one verse that I want us to be thinking about here this morning. Here's what Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 29 and verse 13. He said, this is God speaking, you will find me when you get serious about finding me and seek me with all your heart. What do you need to see God do in your life these days? Where do you need to be stronger? Where do you need a breakthrough? Where do you need to see the Lord work? Well, maybe it's in your marriage, or maybe it's with your finances, or it might be with a relationship with a child or your parents. Listen to me, church. Listen to what God is saying there. You and I are as close to God as we want to be. You are as close to God as you want to be. You will find me when you get serious about finding me and seek me with all your heart. Don't waste these 40 days. God has put this on our hearts as a church for a reason. He wants to do things in our lives and in our church that otherwise he might not do. Every movement of God started, church, when prayer was the first response, not the last resort. And we need a movement of God. Can I get a witness on that? We are in deep weeds in this day and age. We are in deep weeds in our communities. We got marriages and homes that are in deep weeds. Our nation is in deep weeds. Our world in deep weeds. Huge. One of the things God is saying is that we see him work when we get serious about seeking him. And we'll find him when we seek him with all of our heart. Feed on the Word of God. Don't just make Sunday the time when you get God's Word. Discipline yourself to open your heart to the Lord. Realize you learn in various and many ways. And church, make sure as well that you and I are learning and growing from each other as we seek together the face of God. God bless you today. God bless you folks at East York, everybody in the gathering and all of our venues. We trust that these 40 days, God will move powerfully, powerfully in all our hearts and lives. And all God's people said, amen. Let's bow together this morning in prayer. O Lord in heaven, even as we've sung earlier today, O God, I pray we invite you. We invite you, Lord. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to move in our midst today, to move in our hearts, to move in our marriages, to move in our relationships, Lord, in the ministry of our church. We seek unity and clarity. We seek direction. We seek a purifying of your Holy Spirit. We seek breakthroughs, Lord. Oh God, we seek breakthroughs in the lives of our kids, our grandkids, our fellow brothers and sisters. We come to you today, Lord. Speak to us. Draw us to yourself, God. May we seek you with all of our hearts. And it's in the precious and the wonderful name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Stand with me, would you please, church?